welcome to this edition of Tales from the Bargain Bin. I don't know what number it is, because I don't know how I'm going to release these things. So we'll just say it's number something. Thank you so much for checking out the show. With me, once again, is my brother, Mr. Bobby Tucker. How are you, sir?
Hello. Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. This is fun we do these together, because these games, they're joint recollections, you know, because when we do them, it's stuff that we had as kids that we didn't quite expect. If you're new to the show, this is a podcast where we talk about those random gifts we received from well-meaning family members who didn't get the Santa list. The guy just went to the Walmart, or in our case, Caldor or Bradley's, and they just kind of went rogue and picked whatever they wanted. Some of those games are great. Some of those games are kind of hidden gems, and some are terrible. And tonight, we talk about maybe the latter. I'm not going to speak for Bobby, but Barbie, developed by High Tech Expressions in 1991. Bobby, this was a game my sister received, or your sister, obviously, both our sisters.
Yes.
Received by our sister, Lindsay, as a Christmas gift, I think, probably from my Aunt Nancy. That's the guess I'm going to make.
Yeah, I think Lindsay wanted this. We should probably have asked her.
Yeah, I thought about it today. Like, huh, I should text Lindsay and see where this game came from. I did not do that.
I feel like she wanted it, and she got it for either a Christmas or a birthday. But it was, you know, I think she wanted it. It wasn't like a surprise gift.
Really? I seem to remember her kind of getting it and being somewhat excited and then saying, I don't know what to do with this thing. Yeah. Like, can you play it for me?
Yeah, okay. That might have been it. You're right.
Yeah. She I remember her saying, can you play this for me?
Yeah.
So, of course, as a loving brother, we obliged. I don't know about you, Bobby, but I played a lot of this because it was like extra game that year.
It was a new game. And why not?
Why not?
It's a game. It works like a game.
It does. It plugs in. It makes noises. Has a terrible loading screen. Or
I remember
front
it being a perfectly good, like, because it's not a long game. And I remember being a pretty good, like, if you got like a half hour or so to kill, I don't know, before going out to dinner or whatever you had planned on the weekend. Like, it was a good way to knock out an hour. You could actually kind of beat the game pretty fast, I think.
Yeah, you can blow through it in about 30, 40 minutes. Wow. I played it today for about a half an hour. Excuse me. And I got to the last level, which is a hateful abomination. But we'll get to that disaster, what that thing is. But I think my overall impressions, this was made competently. This is a competently made game. This is not, it's a bad game, I think. I mean, if you looked at it objectively, there's lots of bad here and poor decisions and choices, but there was some thought put into it. It's not a complete cash grab on the Barbie name or brand. This is a competently made game. What do you remember of this title, Mr. Tucker?
I remember a pretty interesting premise, because they all take place in her dreams.
Right.
She's got so much to do the next day. She must go to sleep. And I remember, like, but then every time she goes to sleep, she has anxiety dreams of bizarre proportions.
Yes.
And I remember what was unique about it, because you were so used to playing Mario and, like, jumping on enemies and stuff. I don't think you can jump or even kill any enemies in this game. I guess they were trying to market it towards young girls. And really, you just have to jump over obstacles. But you have to use coins, if I'm not mistaken, or you throw little dots. And you can do specific tasks with them to solve puzzles. So it's kind of, it had a clever workaround, like the usual, side scroller.
Right.
But Barbie's a very long and tall woman.
Yes.
Completely, I don't think any woman quite looks, or her proportions are very, very unrealistic.
Yes.
Her length and everything. And so in the game, that translates beautifully because she's very stiff. And I remember jumping and just like kind of like your head hits the wall and stuff. So she's kind of awkward to move, as is a real Barbie. So I think they nailed that, actually.
She moves as if she has like a steel rod in her back.
Yes.
So she's constantly upright with her head at perfect posture.
Yeah.
So I guess that's how Barbie is, because I guess that's how girls are supposed to be, I guess. I don't know.
The aspiration doll, I guess.
An aspiration doll. It's a very strange, you're right, because she's very stiff. And your main verb is jump, and like you said, you throw these little charms. That's the best way I can describe them.
The charms, right.
Because
right.
It's on a little charm bracelet in the lower menu. And the way it works is that you have three different charms. You have a stop charm, a go charm, and a question mark charm, which, hey, surprise. And using those charms, you can make little NPCs in the environment do things to clear your way, or you can use them during boss battles to... Yeah, defeat the various bosses that are in these levels.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like Boy and His Blob. It's got that feel to it, as does the throwing of the charm. If I remember correctly, you kind of have to time in Boy and His Blob, time the way you throw it in a certain way, hold the button a certain amount of time, have a certain amount of momentum. That's how this kind of works.
Mm-hmm. Although Boy and His Blob is beans, I think. But
right. You throw beans to your adorable little blob, and you have... like 20 of them or something. You have a lot of different options to choose from.
Yeah.
Here you have three.
This is a little more dialed back. Yeah.
Yeah. The game itself is extremely simplistic. There's not much to anything. Platforming is a bit of a disaster. It really does require, for the most part, like pixel perfect, you know, edge of the ledge style, platforming, but then you can't get enough momentum to move forward. Every time you hit the jump button, it goes bling, bling, bling. Get used to that sound. I think I'll put it right here.
Oh no!
Yeah, there it is. I will. There it is. And yeah, it's just a really, really. It's not terrible until it's terrible, and then when it gets terrible, it's incomprehensible and inexcusable.
Does it get hard? Does the difficulty ever get hard? Because I don't remember.
Yes, it gets hard at the very last level. So the first level, I'll go through them very fast. No one really cares that much. The first one, you're in a mall, and you're being assailed by kind of like Bart Simpson versus the Space Mutants. The second level where you're attacked by shoes and gloves and hats.
The mall.
The mall section. Yeah. Same thing here. You're being attacked by, again, shoes and gloves and all sorts of other things kind of rolling around the environment. They're silly and ridiculous. Again, you can throw your charms to have your little animal friends help you clear ways and clear out obstacles. It's a very silly game. Water hurts. That's great. It's one of those games where the water fountains evidently cause you distress. Yeah. Your life meter, which is actually pretty neat, are Z's. It's snoozing. So your life meter is how well you're sleeping. It's kind of like Nightmare on Elm Street. Like if you get woken up, it's game over. I guess it's the opposite. It's the opposite of Nightmare on Elm Street. It's pretty weird, but it's a pretty neat concept. If you basically have three chances to get through the entire game, or else you start over. It's basically three lives and it's over. That's lame. That sucks. You also receive pickups for invincibility. You get a pickup for a shield. If you remember that, Bobby, it's like this rotating little bubble shield.
I do remember that.
That thing is ridiculously overpowered, and you can just walk through the level unimpeded. Some of these levels are pretty short. They're all actually pretty short. So first level's mall. The second one, you play as a mermaid. And the mermaid is... it's fine as a swimming game goes, but again, super straightforward, super easy. And actually, at the end of each main world, you acquire a new piece of an outfit. Because the idea behind the game is in your dream, you are building your dream gown to meet your dream Ken. All right. You have a dream ending, which evidently is pretty sad for Barbie because this is all a dream anyway. So no stakes.
And these do sound like a nightmare for Barbie. Like if water hurts you, I mean, that makes sense, you know? Barbie works very hard, you know, when she steps out on the town.
That's right.
A little water can go a long way, man. It's no fun.
It takes her a hot minute to get her face on. I understand that. That's fair. Let's talk about horror shows. You know, you can't go to the food court without the pizza oven attacking you. That's one of the bosses, a pizza oven that flings your pizzas. And then you have a formless mannequin. It's just like a hat and a blouse and like a ghost, as if a ghost were wearing, you know, a fancy outfit.
Yeah.
That's no fun.
Yeah.
And then a giant stack of inflatable balls that come at you. And the idea is you have to feed your little doggy friend to shut the door on them. Right. Again, this is all for girls. It's for young girls. And I say that dismissively, not because I'm saying that small girls can't enjoy regular games. That's just kind of what the mentality of the time was.
We're saying
this is for girls.
We're saying it from a 1991 lens.
Yeah.
Marketing lens, and that's how they designed it. Although the key demographic is for Barbie, most likely girls. Doesn't mean girls can't play Mario, and as they do,
and people on this show have proven that a number of times. So
actually, I mean, like, that's the only that's one of the big strikes against this game, I guess you would say, is they could have made the game harder. They could have given girls a little more credit and made a proper game, but I don't think they ever really did. Barbie's all about the accessories. It's a doll. It's the dollhouse and all that stuff. I mean, the best equivalent today of having that kind of experience in a video game is like Sim Life. You have your Sim and then you build your house and you build your dream life. That's kind of what Barbie dolls were for the 90s. And I don't know, they turned that into like a side-scrolling game. It's just, I guess they did their best, but there's no excuse for not at least making it a little harder.
Yeah.
Or at least having a difficulty mode, you know?
No, I agree with that. And there's no real puzzle. It's just come across an obstacle. There's clearly one solution to said obstacle. Feed your little, bird friend or whatever it is, the little charm it needs, and it flops up and down. And again, this is intended for young kids, if nothing else. Right. And it's definitely has that steeze. The third area, at the end of the mall, I think you get the dress. I think that's what you get, either dress or the shoes.
Mm.
The idea is you throw whatever things you've collected into a fountain, and I think you get shoes. I can't remember, but maybe shoes. At the end of the second one, you get a shiny pearl. I will say the mermaid section, because again, each world has different sections in it, like you'd expect. The last section of the mermaid is horrendous. This is, I think, where most people probably just fell apart. There's a circling tornado figure that will push your character forward and back like a current. So you're constantly fighting an alternate current or an alternating current to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And it is freaking annoying. My gosh, it is annoying. It's horrendous. It's one of those weird difficulty spikes because the balance of the mermaid section is not that bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. And then they found a place to put some difficulty.
They sure did. It's just a very bad, badly designed section. Then level 3 gets back to the easy stuff. That is, you're at a 50s diner, I guess, as a 50s gal. So all sorts of 50s era like records and, again, sentient inanimate objects trying to cause you to. There's some really cute and adorable, though, NPCs and enemies in here. Uh-huh. Actually, they're NPCs. There's all these little like hamburgers and sodas. And ice cream cones.
Yeah, I was gonna say if it's the 50s, I picture like malts and like little skirts. Yeah,
it's a malt. Yeah, and it's got these little eyes on them. The malt does. Yeah. It's super freaking cute. Not a competently made, thought out game. It really is.
Yeah,
it's, for example, the little malt guy will walk under. There's a giant soda stream. Thing, dispenser that's impeding your progress because you can't get sticky soda on your outfit. Like, and let's be honest, who would want to?
Uh-huh.
And now no one wants to do that. So as your little guy walks forward, if you feed him a charm at the right spot, he'll kind of like shoot his ice cream and stop the spray so you can walk underneath it. which is really the ultimate sacrifice, because who knows if he can even live separated from his little container. It's really super cute. Like the hamburgers, if you hit it with the right thing, it'll shoot its hamburger patty out and knock over a bunch of things. Super, super cute. But, you know, I also realize I'm probably murdering these adorable little sentient hamburgers as I progress through this level.
It's all right.
But it's all a dream.
It's all a dream. I was going to say.
It's all
Barbie
a dream.
Barbie has to survive her dreams or her nightmares. I'm not sure.
So before we kind of move on, the last thing I want to mention is the fourth level, which is the sock hop, which is, again, there's basically three pieces of garment you need to make your dream dress. The third one, I believe this is for the shoes. The final area you have to traverse leans into the worst part of this game. And I mean the worst part of this game, which is the platforming. You are tasked with jumping over these tiny little musical notes.
Yeah.
Some of these notes that
I
you...
remember yeah, this.
I'm sure I... Am I bringing back horrible memories?
Pretty bad.
Like the freaking music notes?
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
And the records that are spinning, yes. So you remember, can't really...
Remember how many stiff she is, and then trying to jump on these little bouncy notes. Yes, yes, yes. Do they bounce, too? Or they make you bounce, or am I thinking...
No, you're thinking of something... There are other things in that world that make you bounce. Oh. This does not make you do anything.
Oh.
You need to be pixel perfect and have the right momentum to make it to the next platform. And if you mess up, guess what you get to do? Go all the way to the back, because there's this spinning conveyor belt. The second you miss, whoop, right back to the beginning of the level. And it's probably 30 jumps you need to make perfectly to get to this final section. And that's the final section. And then the final boss is some weird thing, a jukebox. Yeah, I keep a bunch of coins spinning. I don't remember. I probably use Game Genie on this. Although the Game Genie would not have helped the platforming. So
no. No, I think we beat this without Game Genie. I think we somehow mastered its awful controls.
Good Lord. Oh, hey, listen, look at us. Look at us just killing it. Again, we had three new games that year, and one of them was Barbie. So. Yeah, so that is a hateful, hateful ending of this game.
But you go to the ball at the end, right?
You do. You're the belle of the ball. You descend the staircase very slowly, one step at a time. You approach your beloved Ken, you embrace, and that's the end. I didn't finish the game. I just saw the end of it on YouTube, so I was not about to, like... I got to that part. I was like, oh, no. No, I know what this is. No.
It all came back to you. Well, that mermaid stuff sounded terrible, too.
Oh, it's really bad.
But it's worth it, as long as she makes it to the ball, you know.
In her dreams.
In her dreams, right?
No, which is always a weird thing in games, you know, when it's like all a dream.
But remind me, do you also like have to pick up things that spell out the name Barbie, right?
You pick up, I don't believe so. Oh. I didn't notice it. There are like Bs in there, like bonuses.
Oh, I thought there
and if
was.
You, yeah, I don't. I think if you pick up certain things, you'll get more health / sleep time. I don't think you have to pick up Barbie, though. I'm thinking, for some reason, I think you're right, but I'm not. That's not clicking with me,
okay.
Oddly. Oh, I don't think so.
He played it without doing that element just fine.
I just ran through it as fast as humanly possible. That's it. Just got that little bubble shield and away it went. And that was how we did it for sure.
Did Lindsay have actually beat it, our sister?
I don't think she ever really played it, Bobby. I think she asked us to play it, and then we were obliged. And then we went, all right.
I'll play a game.
I'll play a game, whatever.
Yeah, it's a new game. You mentioned this is published by High Tech Expressions, but it was also developed by a team called Imagineering. And I remember specifically on the home screen, it said Imagineering, Glen Rock, New Jersey.
Hey!
I know, and I remember reading that, and I'm going, Glen Rock, New Jersey. Why? Why is there a video game developer in Glen Rock, New Jersey? I didn't think anything was in Glen Rock, New Jersey. There is an actual rock. I've seen it. It's a boulder, but that's. I didn't know anything about a development company. and I just remember that being an odd little thing. They developed a couple of the Barbie games, and they've had they go back to the 80s a little bit with Atari and stuff, so they have a little when I looked them up, One of the most notable games they've had their hands in was A Boy and His Blob.
Oh, oh no. Hey, see, I wonder where they got that mechanic.
Yes,
then.
They did.
They just pulled that code right from Boy and His Blob. They said, that'll be great.
Yeah, Boy and His Blob was 89. So just like, you know, a few years later, hey, let's do that again with the Barbie doll license.
I'm on that page as well. Looks like they've had their fair share of frustration. They did Akari Warriors.
Oh.
The 2600.
I didn't realize that was them.
Oh, they also developed Bart Simpson, Bart vs. the Space Mutants. Another reference earlier in this podcast.
Oh, my goodness.
They were the developers, obviously. So
yeah.
They had developed Bart vs. the Space Mutants, Bart vs. the World.
Yeah.
They had the Simpsons license. So
No kidding.
Escape from Camp Deadly on the Game Boy.
Yeah.
Well, you may have to do Bart vs. the Space Mutants, although I suspect that's probably a game you wanted, considering your fandom.
Yeah, I wanted one of them, and I remember getting that one and borrowing the other one. Bart. I think it was also a Dream one, wasn't it? I'm getting off topic here, but
that's okay.
Bart versus the World, right. My friend had Bart versus the World. That one I borrowed,
right?
And then we got Space Mutants, and we would swap and all that stuff. And then the one I never played was Camp Deadly, but that was a Game Boy game. But yeah. I wanted it, yes. I wasn't prepared for how hard it was. But
no one was.
But it's
no
just,
one was prepared for it.
It was just one of those like tie-in things because I obviously like The Simpsons. And then, that happens a lot, you know, when you have when there's a tie-in property and then the game doesn't quite match up.
They also did 1992 Bart versus the Juggernauts. And then Bart meets Bartman meets Radioactive Man.
Right.
For the NES. So they had the whole thing, huh? That's pretty good. And then they actually did, they were one of the 93 developers. They were making NES games in 93.
Wow.
That's 2 years after the release of the Super Nintendo. They released the Red and Stimpy Show Buckaroos.
I don't remember that.
For the NES.
I have no idea what that is.
No, and I don't want to click on it to find out. I really don't care that much. And then they did a Barbie game for Game Girl. They did a Barbie Game Girl game for Game Boy. So Barbie colon Game Girl.
Right.
I'm sure that is just... And the cover of that one is equally as generic as the one for NES.
Did I mention that the cover art for these games is just the doll? It's just a blank pink background with the doll. Like, they did
this
not...
This was actually creepy because her face is like way too red and her eyes way too blue. Like, this is something that's going to peer at me from the shadows in my dreams. Thanks, Barbie.
Can you imagine like being a little girl who's like, oh, another Barbie doll, and you open it, it's like a video game cartridge, and you're just like, oh, what is this? Is there a doll in here?
That's so good. I'm looking at this very, very sparse wiki for Barbie colon Game Girl, and there is one tiny screenshot.
Even the Wikipedia community couldn't muster up some sources for this thing.
You know it's bad when I can just count the sentences. There is about 12. God. There about. The factoid it has for this one, the game's title screen plays an instrumental version of the early 1990s pop music song Gotta Make You Sweat, Everybody Dance Now by CNC Music Factory.
Right.
So if you want to hear a Game Boy version of Everybody Dance Now, Barbie colon Game Girl is your place. It's basically the same game. The one screenshot, goodness. It's the same game. Just for the Game Boy. In this platform game, Barbie must find an outfit for her date with Ken. Then the world's floor, game is all centered, collecting gems and pearls. There's a very good caption on this image, and it reads, Barbie is inside a giant 50s diner trying to avoid a possessed soft drink that is throwing French fries at her.
Hey.
I gotta go through it. I was really trying to get through that sentence, and I could not. Sorry, listeners.
I want to submit this either one, NES or the Game Boy game, to Psychology Today, and I want to see, like, is there dream theory hold up in this game? is the 50s or even like the pizza ovens, like her fear of losing her figure, is the what was the other one, not the mermaid, what was the other level?
Well, there's mermaid, there's the mall, and there's a sock hop,
right? Like the mall, 50s diner. Her fear of the mall and the mm-hmm. and all these articles of clothing attacking her, is that her fear of credit card debt? Like, I want to get a hold of like the psychology today and say, could you just like do a quick article on this?
Bobby, please stop trying to Silent Hill our Barbie game, okay? Please stop trying to make these manifestations of her tortured psyche.
I don't know.
I mean, I think it'd be kind of fun. It'd be good. Well, speaking of science and people who have kind of analyzed this game for a little bit, yes. In the book From Barbie to Mortal Kombat, Gender and Computer Games, Justine Cassell uses Barbie as an example of typical, quote-unquote, pink software. Software designed with a male audience that is merely reskinned for female gamers without regard for their different taste in gaming.
Sure. Huh.
Yeah. I mean, correct. Yeah, I mean, it's obvious from the packaging. Yeah, it's just like, it seems competent. And clearly the developers were competent. I mean, they made mm-hmm. some duds. You know, nobody likes most of their games, to be honest. I don't think we have any big Swamp Thing fans out there or Family Feud in 1991. But Boy and His Blob has some defenders, and I'll defend that game to a certain extent.
Yeah, I have a soft spot for that game. Yeah, I like Boy and His Blob.
Yeah, they weren't really setting the world on fire, but they knew what they were doing, for sure. And the developer, High Tech Expressions, publisher, I should say.
Yeah,
publisher. They also publish a lot of junk. Nothing of real note. There's also a Barbie supermodel game. Barbie Supermodel. It's for the Genesis. Same old generic front screen. Same old generic cover art. That's what they do. You get to play as Barbie, naturally.
Just take a doll box, slap the system on it. It's as cheap as it gets, man.
I'm going to go on Twitter. I'm going to take all of these game boxes, and I'm going to put them up because you can put up to 4 pictures and post, which one do you like best? Because they're all freaking the same.
Which one should Barbie, I play?
Barbie Vacation Adventure. Same thing, just a doe-eyed Barbie staring at you behind a colorful pinkish background. Yeah, the only other game I think of note that they were involved with, they did a Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego for SNES.
Oh, cool.
Which is actually pretty good. It's fun. I like that one. It's a decent version. And then they also did Street Fighter 2 for DOS.
Great. Great.
Excellent. Cool. Fantastic.
Can't wait. Yeah, I saw on their list too was for the Game Boy a canceled Baby's Day Out game.
Oh.
I want to know about that too.
I do too. I would like to get a ROM of Baby's Day Out. I'm sure it'd be very much so like Barbie, kind of lots of like using your environment to get past hazards. And
I want to control a baby on a construction site. It's really, yes. That's all I want to do, like a Warner Brothers cartoon. Oh no.
Oh boy. So yeah, and this is to kind of put a fine point on it that I'm going to continue with Cassell and her notes here, that she notes that in the design of the early 1990s Barbie video games, Mattel supervisors were only interested in the superficial visual appearances and left the game mechanics and development to third parties. Well, yeah. I mean, Mattel's not going to get out there and get a studio together and get a development house together to make Barbie cash in. Let's hire the geniuses behind Akari Warriors and let them take care of the thing.
Nobody liked that game, huh? And I never played it, so.
Wait a minute. What? I'm sorry. Let me just put this on hold for a second. Barbie was discussed in 1992 by the United States House of Representatives.
Go on.
During a hearing chaired by the Subcommittee on Intellectual Property and Judicial Administration under the Committee on the Judiciary, in which it was noted that the game had been subject to frequent counterfeiting and related copyright and trademark infringements.
Oh.
The bulk of Barbie counterfeits were noted to have originally come from Taiwan. However, at the time, the counterfeiters were shifting operations toward Korea, Hong Kong, and China.
They do good work.
They sure do. As the House noted, counterfeit operations that sought to infringe Barbie's intellectual property rights were large-scale and sophisticated operations working with the very latest ROM technology. Oh, how do you think I played this game, Senator?
Now, I say, Mr. Tucker, where did you get this here ROM?
I don't know what you're talking about. My aunt purchased this game from my sister back in 1992 or whenever it was. It is a legally owned copy, and if I want to pirate a copy for myself, I claim ownership of the original, damn it.
You claim ownership of the original, then let's pop the old cartridge into your computer now. Where is the NES port on your PC computer, Mr. Tucker? I say, I don't know, I'm just a simple small-town lawyer, but I don't see no computer drive. I'm losing it.
I was just going to let you go until you ran out of steam. I'm sorry, sir. My computer port, you see, for the NES is no longer operational. However, just because I don't own a tape deck doesn't mean that the tape I purchased, that Garth Brooks tape I purchased in 1992, isn't my property. Mm. Just because I can't play the thing doesn't mean I can't own it. I know lots of people who own games that they never play. They don't even take them out of the box, sir. Southern, small town, southern gentleman lawyer. Anyway, I just find it very funny that... And I wonder if this is like Barbie. Yeah, no, it's Barbie the game. It's amazing that this game was cited in copyright infringement court. Wow. From the terrible opening screen to the House of Representatives, we have mined this Barbie game to the last. So I ask you, Mr. Tucker, do we take this home or do we put it back in the bin?
It's a competent game. Yes. But your life does not improve by playing it. You could put it right back in the bin. Much as we've kind of been on the kind side of it, it's not a good game.
No. This is not required playing for anybody of any age. If you have young kids at home.
A morbid curiosity at most. If you want to play really stiff controls. And
yeah. Yeah, and I'm going to put this straight back in the bin without reservation. Yeah. You know, listen, I kind of feel for the developers on these sort of things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get an email, or I guess in that case a letter. You get a phone call from Mattel that says, "Hey you, hey, make this Barbie game and make it suitable for 3 to 8 year olds and especially girls." And you go, and you have 3 months. I can't imagine them having more than like 6 months to make this thing.
Tops, yeah. Usually.
You have to have this in place for holiday, in the stores, yeah. Ready to roll. Don't worry, the packaging's easy. Barbie's face, pink background, it's easy.
We already made the box for you.
They pull a little from this, a little from that. They make a game. It's kind of like Junior Boy and His Blob, and it is what it is. But it's not one that deserves, in my opinion, to be... home with me. No, thank you. Thank you very much for joining me on this episode of Tales from the Bargain Bin. If you enjoy this show, then you are just the bee's knees and the cat's meow. And I appreciate you listening. Be sure to check me out on Twitter at agamerlooksat40. If you want to throw me a couple of buckaroos on Patreon, that would be lovely. $2. Get you early access to episodes and polls and whatever else comes with that service. And you get your own private RSS feed, so you can listen to the early access shows on your pod player of choice. Pretty neato stuff. High tech indeed. And of course, check out the main show, A Gamer Looks at 40. It is good times. Thanks again for checking out the show, and continue staying awesome.